This is EdTech Weekly. Matt, we've done a lot of shows. We've had a lot of, well, this is episode number 10, I think. And we're trying to always change the show and do some things. So we're going to kind of tweak the format a little bit, make the EdTech news a little bit quicker, and then have a tip of the day and then a resource as well that we're hoping people can get involved in. The way to do that, of course, you can go to reddit.com/EdTechWeekly. You can post stories there and communicate with us. You can also go to our website at edtechweeklyshow.com, and you can get the show notes that way. And we have a new way for you to contact us, Matt. Are you excited about the new way? Do you know anything about this yet?
No, I do not.
Well, you can call and leave us a voicemail, and we can play it on the show, leave your opinion on a topic we've discussed or a topic you'd like us to talk about, a tip or a resource you'd like to share. That number is 305-92-TECH-2. That's 305-92, the word tech, T-E-C-H-2. 305-92-TECH-2. Give us a call, leave us a message. And I think we may have a correction on the Reddit. We need to make sure it's reddit.com/r/EdTechWeekly to get you in there, okay? So let's start, Matt, as we always do, with the EdTech news of the week.
Okay, but are you sure there's no pound, ampersand, then star, and then another bunch of numbers we have to put into with the phone number?
Listen, you give me flack. I like it. It's catchy. It rolls off the tongue. 305-92-TECH-2. And 305 happens to be the Key West area code, and I like to be kind of living in a Key West state of mind, so that's what we went with. Matt, The Verge is reporting that Skype has added two more languages to its real-time language translator, bringing the total to six languages. Matt, we are using Skype right now for you to be in the show. If you spoke a different language, I guess we could make that work.
That we could, unless I was speaking Cantonese, and it is an affront that they have Mandarin and not Cantonese.
At the moment, no support for that, but I'm sure they'll add it. I think, Matt, this technology in the hands of two pretty good teachers, and they can make some amazing connections across the world for our students.
No, absolutely. I remember being in high school and it being all about, you know, you want to go ahead and write a letter and you're going to have a pen pal of somebody who lives in Japan. And there was always those couple of students in your class that, you know, kept on a relationship with that person while they both went through high school and stuff like this. And I think this is a great way to sort of, I don't know, bring that back up. I don't know if they still do that in school or not. If they don't, I think this is perfect because you get to, there's a lot more you can learn from them.
Yeah, I mean, with the pen pal situation, especially with younger kids, you're working with that language barrier, and it puts a little extra into that. And with this, you know, they can speak in their native tongue, and you can hear what they're saying. The accuracy may not be 100%, but according to those who've tested it, it's good enough, and you can kind of get that communication underway. And I think it's an awesome technology for schools to use and to kind of understand what students' life is like in other countries. That could be a big help.
Yeah.
Matt, our second story of the day, CNET reports that a high school in California has installed microphones, not to listen in on their students, but to help detect gunfire and immediately would inform the school of a gunfire situation. The principal of the school equates this with a smoke detector. Do you think we're getting to that point now with technology and or with the fear of these things happening in schools where a gun detection listening microphone is going to be just like a smoke detector?
I don't know. I hope not. I'm very torn on this. On one hand, you know, safety is and always should be paramount. But is this only listening for that? Is there a certain decibel threshold that this is only going to be paying attention to? I don't know.
Yeah, you know, and I have to give – I would be remiss if I didn't mention after our last podcast – actually, I think two podcasts ago, we talked about the school in Orange County, Florida that was monitoring Twitter. My wife, full disclosure, works for a state agency that works alongside of first responders and that type of stuff. And I got a tongue-lashing about our stance on that. And she said, this could be great if there's a situation in the school for them to be able to monitor and they could find out where the situation is, if there's a shooter, if there's all this kind of stuff. And this could save kids. So I did want to at least put that out there. Again, we didn't know a whole lot about the article. We didn't know a whole lot about that situation. And it is important, like you said, for there to be rules in place about what are we listening for? I'm assuming, based on what I read here and seen at, that this was something that was not recording audio of things, just, but it was just trying to hear certain noise that it would equal as a gunfire situation. But let's try to at least have both sides of the story. I don't want to get in trouble again.
Okay.
You know what I'm saying? I don't need my wife to get upset with me. We do have a slant, clearly, right? I mean, we have a certain way of looking at things, but to me, I'm always a little concerned with who's in power, who's controlling what's being listened to and how it's being used. And this is probably no different, but.
Well, and the other parts of it is, or the part of it is, how is it being stored? Is it a local backup? Is it a cloud backup? What type of, you know, things are being put in place to restrict access? Is this something that is then, you know, you can garner it by doing a Freedom of Information Act? I mean, the way that all of this data is handled, you know, has a lot, you know.
There's a lot of implications. It's really important. Yeah, so. There's a lot of implications about what will be done with the data, and it definitely needs to be discussed. I think maybe we were a little more on that side of it than also, you know, saying, yeah, if this could help save some kids' lives, it would be awesome. So I can definitely agree with that. But I think I was on the paranoia train along with the article there that was kind of like, what are they going to use this for?
Yeah.
All right, Matt, let's go to our next story. CNET reports that Youth Digital, which is an ed tech company focused on teaching kids to code, has created a course called Server Design 1, and it uses Minecraft to help students learn to code. This course seems to be really about helping students see some of the possibilities of creating and what you can actually do with the digital world. What do you think about this, Matt?
I think it's really cool. I think it's a nice, fun way of getting kids to interact with something that they're probably already playing around with. And then putting a more educational bend on it. I think that's really important. It's taking the tools, albeit not expensive tools, to start reaching students and, you know, reaching them on their terms. And this is an easy, fun way of doing it because there's a nominal fee involved. It's not like a large-scale deployment because kids like the Apple logo and let's all buy iPads. And now I sound like an old crotchety jerk.
Yeah, I mean, but you're right. Kids are using Minecraft. There's a certain age range. I think probably, you know, just off the top of my head, I'm guessing like the 7 to 12-year-old especially that's really into the Minecraft situation. And if you can reach them at their level and help them see how coding is important and how it can help them to even create their worlds that they want further, it's got to be a good situation there.
Yeah, and I don't know. It's just one of those cool things where you see people reaching out on the level of the student themselves, and it's not something that's co-opting what the student's actually doing. It's actually working alongside of it. It's not saying, hey, you like Cheerios and I like Cheerios. Let's make a macrame Cheerio, you know, awesome thing. This is getting weird.
Cheerios. That sounds good. Although I haven't had dinner yet, so maybe that's why. So we move on now to our resource of the week. And I found this upon searching some ed tech things. I found a resource for teachers, especially female teachers, to check out. Matt, we've been talking many times during this podcast in the past several weeks about how we need to be more inclusive, and we need especially female students and minority students to see how people have gone in the different, especially tech industries, and actually succeeded and sort of their path. And this blog that I found, it's edtechwomen.com. That's W-O-M-E-N, women.com. There's some great blogs on there. There's ask questions, ask ETW some questions. They've got some cool spotlights on people that are like, let's see, Carrie Stubbs, who's the Vice President of Learning and Innovation at BrainPop, which is a popular app and a web app that people are using in education. I think, you know, a resource like this is awesome, not only for our students, but also for our ed tech teachers that are out there listening, if they're out there. You know, you want to make sure that we are furthering the cause of getting more people involved. We want women and men and everyone to be involved in ed tech, especially based on what we're looking for this podcast. So check out edtechwomen.com. Again, it's a neat resource. They do articles on some female leaders in the industry. Matt, did you have a chance to check out that blog at all?
Yeah, I looked over a little bit. There were some amazing articles and people that got involved. I sort of started falling down the South by Southwest EDU hole a little bit and reading some of those articles. So it was really great to see not only everything that's being done in the community, but the chronicling of it as an easy, you know, as one great resource for you as a student or a teacher to go and check out what's happening.
Yeah, and I think it's a good resource for men and women. It's definitely something that all, I think, teachers, especially tech teachers, should check out. You can also follow them at EdTechWomen on Twitter. So I would go ahead and do that. Matt, our tip of the week. This is something that's been a pet peeve of mine for a long time. I feel like this needs to be in more schools in any way possible, and that's response card technology. Basically, what that means is your students have some sort of a device that they can interact with you while you're teaching. You can ask questions for understanding, and you get real-time feedback. As an educator in the social studies classroom, this helped me more than anything else hone my teaching craft and my ability, because what happened was I thought I was doing a good job. We all think we're doing a good job. And I'd ask a simple question to my students, and 50% of them didn't get it right. And I'm thinking, hey, there's a problem here. So I don't know if you're familiar with this type of technology, Matt. Have you ever used this, and maybe in a, I don't know, at a training, a seminar, or anything?
Never.
Never used it. I know my wife has told me that she's used it at one of her business meetings, where they come up and, you know, they'll ask questions and try to get some feedback and try to get the pulse of the crowd. But as an educator, you know, it's moving more and more now to bring your own device, and, you know, you have to have some sort of a program that allows you to do it. I know Turning Technologies has one. There are many others that, well, Smart has their own. But it's turning more and more to these devices, whether it's their iPhone or their Android phones. But almost every phone or any other iPad, they can use those to kind of respond. And what's great about it is you get to know where your class stands right away. And even better than that, your students get to know exactly where they stand. A lot of times waiting for the end of the week or waiting for the end of the unit to have a test, the students don't know why they don't know this stuff, and they get the grades back a few days later, maybe a week later, and then they're really confused about where they went wrong. This gives you that immediate feedback. And I'm telling you, if you try it as a teacher, there's some free resources out there. And I'll post some of those on the website and as well on our Reddit. But there's some resources out there that are free that you can do this for. You have to do it. You have to try it, because I'm telling you, it's really going to help your education, your teaching craft. Matt, that's the end of our show for today. If you like the new format, if you don't like the new format, if you have some tips that you want to send to us, again, you can go to edtechweeklyshow.com. You can go to our Reddit. That's edtechweekly, r/edtechweekly. Post some articles, interact. You know, let that be a place where our educators can go and meet up and learn new things and try new things. As always, Matt, thanks for joining us. Anything to say to the good people?
Thank you for listening.
Oh, very proper this time. I like it.
Caught me off guard. I didn't have time to write down a monologue.
Well, next time I expect better. Okay, episode 11, bring your A game. Okay, bud?
Brought.
All right. We'll see you next time on EdTech Weekly.
Later.